Trudy Kerr and welcome to The Interviewer. In this series, I'm talking to artists, campaigners, men and women of influence, musicians, performers and anyone who shapes the fabric of our society. Today I'm talking to a regular on the show, the master of North and South, an ambassador for sperm whales and a broadcast hero in her own right. Tazara Camilleri Saliba. Today I'm going to be picking up on some themes that Tez herself has been talking about in the media and divulging into them in some more depth. We're going to be looking at body image, mental health and much, much more. But for now, hello Tez!
Hello!
How are you, Tez? How's things? How's life?
I'm super! How are you?
I'm really good. You can probably hear I'm a little bit croaky today.
It's alright.
That's
nice
just
Alex.
Do you like that?
It's got like a Sheryl Crow thing.
Hi Tez. Hi Tez, welcome to The Interviewer.
Hi friend! It's always great to see you.
It's great to see you too. And how's life? How's things? You're back teaching, I assume.
I'm back teaching, yes. We had obviously 2 weeks off for Easter holidays. Thankfully then, schools opened again on the 12th and thankfully we're back. I'm really glad to be back. I love being at school.
Well, we're going to be talking about school as well in a little bit, but before we get there... I really do want to recap on some of the recent posts that you've been putting out. And I want to talk to them,
You're scaring me, when you say this, because half the time I post and I'm like, oh, yeah, let's see where this goes. Because I don't give it much thought. And here you are saying, we're going to dive right in. I'm like,
We really are going to dive right in. We're going to have a good look at all of these things. Okay. But I want to start off with one of your recent posts that said, perfect bodies. We don't know them, with the hashtag perfectly imperfect. Now, I'm going to ask you some very honest questions relating to this topic. Are you up for this?
I'm very, very up for this, guys. So you might not have the crazy Trudy and Tez you're used to for this one. Hey, we're going to attack it somehow. We've had some really good, serious ones these last couple of weeks, haven't we?
And let me ask you something first of all.
Okay.
You use the hashtag perfectly imperfect. Mm-hmm. So I want to go right in there, strike right to the heart of this.
Okay.
How do you feel about your body image?
I have a hate relationship with my body. So much so that I don't go to the beach. So much so that I'm not going to sit here on a podcast and tell you, oh, embrace your curves and all of this, because I can't tell you that I do. I've struggled with body issues for, I think, a larger percentage of my life, not because I've been overweight or whatever. It's just that I've never been 100% happy with the way that I looked. It's horrible to admit it, I think.
I think you say that it's horrible to admit it, but I think it's one of those conversations that we never have.
Yes, I think it's hard to admit, but I think it's important to admit. So I know what I see in the mirror. I know that the second I stop training, the second I take an extra slice of pizza, the second blah, 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 it's going to show. It's going to show on my body. I also know that I'm genetically inclined to be a certain way because of the way my parents are. So you do have to keep that in mind as well, in my case. And I'm going to really dive into this and call a spade a spade. I have large boobs. And it's something. Yes, it's funny, it's whatever, but it does make you look a little bit heavier than I would like to. Now, I'm somebody who really does embrace the fact that I have boobs because I like them, but...
But you know what? This is really interesting because I myself also have large boobs. And I've always had large boobs and I've always been that person that had big boobs and I have a smaller waist. It's funny because in the 60s and the 50s and 60s, that would have been the look... Mm-hmm. The figure to have. If you look back at role models from that time, Marilyn Monroe, being one of the perfect role models from there, and you look at it, and
that
was exactly
your time, Trudy.
Thank you so much, Tess.
No,
you realize it's my birthday. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's come back to that.
Okay.
So, does your I'm trying to kind of gauge this. Does your opinion of yourself stay constant? Or does it change on a daily or weekly
changes, I would say, even day to day, even midday. First of all, as women, I think our cycle really does affect it because you feel more bloated on some days. You feel more lethargic on others. There are days I need to push myself to train and I don't feel like training, but I tell myself I'm feeling totally sluggish or I've had takeout yesterday. I need to run, or something like that. So There are days that then I look at myself and I say, all right, today you look quite all right. And like, after I run, I would take a shower, obviously, and look at myself in the mirror and I'd be like, I'm seeing some definition. Oh my God, it's happening. So having said all of this, having said the whole thing that I have this hate-hate relationship with my body, I also understand that I feel on social media, especially the local social media scene, we need to be putting out more things of substance and, you know, the kind of expression of, you know, be the change you want to see. I'm trying to be the change I want to see. I want to normalize normal bodies.
We're going to come to that in just a second. Before we get there, has there ever been a time that you were consistently 100% happy with your body?
Yes, I would say that was the time where I was about to get married, but it came at a real cost because I was on a strict diet where I didn't eat any pasta, any pizza, any very little carb, you know, and I was training a lot. As great as I felt, and I look at my wedding pictures and I say, oh my God, I really felt I looked great, I wouldn't go back to that.
Well, okay, this is exactly where I wanted to go, because we have a mutual friend, Leanne, who's going to be on the podcast in the next couple of weeks.
I love her.
She's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman, and she's, you know, won world championships based on her figure and her appearance. Mm-hmm. But that, as you just rightly said, takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
But here's the question. Okay, if you know that you can achieve that, if you know that you can achieve exactly what you look like around the time of your wedding, when you really, really were happy, and you know that right now you are not happy, is it worth going back to putting that much effort in, or how do you find the balance?
Listen,
where does the balance sit?
Yes, I think you need to see what works for your body. I'm somebody who looks at a bloody carbohydrate and it's already on my ass, so I think you really need to strike a balance. What works for your body doesn't necessarily work for mine. Recently, as we've said, even in previous podcasts, I've gotten into running and I'm really enjoying doing that. I think you need to have a balance. If you're going to eat takeaway every day in a body like mine, it's going to reflect in my body. If I don't exercise, it's going to reflect in my body. I have friends of mine who eat absolute garbage and they don't have an ounce of cellulite. Am I jealous? I am, but can I do anything about it? No. I think I've gotten to a point before I was just angry at it. I was angry at the fact that Almadov, how can she train a fraction of what I train, eat a fraction of the healthy stuff I eat, and she looks that way. Now I think I've gotten to a point where I'm a bit like, okay, there's nothing I can do about that. This is the way I look. I'm either going to do something about it to make myself feel better in my own skin, or I'm just going to keep going around in circles. I think that's what it is about, striking a balance. I try and train 4 times a week. I try and eat as healthily as I can, but then if I want to cheat, you know, and have a takeaway pizza or something, then I'm going to do so because I think life is too short. Even though I look at the lead up to my wedding and I say, oh my God, I have such definition and blah, 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 and I say, wow, there's still another side to me that also likes to eat, so I'm not going to give up the carbs. You know what I mean? I was speaking to Maxine Aquilina, who you've had on the show before. I absolutely love her. She's a good friend of mine. And we often talk about, we have the same issues. We have curves, you know, when we often talk about body type, and we often talk about, because we're both educators as well, the type of message we want to transmit onto social media. And she, even on here, has spoken about how she doesn't like how certain things happen on social media and how she doesn't like doing it and all of that. After X Factor, she unfollowed everything, she disconnected from social media and whatever. And she actually told me, you need to, I was having a really low period, and she told me you need to unfollow certain people and start following people who are going to inspire you. And I followed loads of people who really push for embracing your curves, loving your stretch marks, and just acknowledging the fact that you have cellulite. You know, I think we need to make this normal.
Normalize
the fact that, yes, women have stretch marks. Yes, we get cellulite. Yes, and it's not the end of the world. So that is why I wrote hashtag perfectly imperfect. Hashtag normalize normal bodies. Why? Because maybe it doesn't affect anybody at all. But on my low points, I want to see something like that. When I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I'm going, I have love handles. Damn it, maybe I shouldn't have taken that Chinese takeaway, whatever, but so what? It's a love handle, you know?
There is an amazing woman who was a model and a Miss Ireland, And she, I follow her on socials. She is an incredible woman to follow. She shows all the photographs. She's still a model, but she shows the photographs that are shot on the shoot and all the ones that don't make it to the final.
It's true.
And the reality of that photo shoot. And mm-hmm. she also talks about loving food, and she quite often grabs. I mean, she's been Miss Ireland and in Miss World competitions, and she'll grab hold of her cellulite and she'll just show it
shake
to the camera.
It.
And she will embrace her perfectly imperfect, and we need more role models like that.
I totally agree with you. Don't get me wrong. I mean, then it's up to the front cover, whoever's choosing the shots, to choose what they want to choose. But I like the fact, like, for example, I like following accounts that have the expectation versus reality, the pictures of how to pose and the reality of when you breathe out. And it's not, and then they would do like a, it's not a before and after. It's just that I posed that way, and this is how people are posing on Instagram to get their ass to look this way, to get their stomach to look this way. It's got to do with lighting. I'm real, you know what I see, Trude? I see that we are filtering everything. We don't put up a picture and just leave the picture. We are growing up in an environment, and our youngsters are growing up in an environment that you upload a picture to social media and you've got bunny ears, you've got hearts, you've got, everything has a filter. And I don't like this. I don't like that my niece would look at it and say, but that is not how she looks in real life. We need to be normalizing something without a filter, something without sucking your tummy in, without popping your bum a certain way to make it look a certain way. We need to be normalizing. This, to me, is what I want to see on social media. So, okay, there is influencing, and I really don't identify with the term, but I feel that, okay, there are clothes and all of this that we're talking about on social media and promoting and all of that, but we should be normalizing these things.
You are brand ambassador for Revlon and also for Monsoon, mm-hmm. both of which are fashion-related brands.
Yes.
Now, for them, is it not the case that you have to look as perfect as you can be? Do you feel that pressure?
Not at all. My answer is no, I don't feel like I am pressured. First of all, as I said, I've been... the brand knows me, and they would have engaged with somebody like me because they know I'm going to keep it real and all of that. I don't feel pressure, because to me, it's just that I have been engaged to post two dresses a month, for example, and I just look at it as like another job I have to do, like an acting gig almost, you know, a girl in a pretty dress in a field taking a photo. So I don't look at it in that way. With regards to Revlon, again, I don't feel at all, because when you're uploading something like makeup, you're definitely not adding a filter to it. So people are really seeing the raw footage of you applying the makeup. You are the raw footage of you putting the mascara on. And again, even when I was in contact with Revlon, originally when they had approached me to be their brand ambassador, I was very like, listen, but I'm an actress and a singer, so I'm not an influencer. And they're like, yes, but that's what we want, that you're just a normal person. And I think that's the important thing, that but even normal people put mascara on, you know what I mean?
Yes, I totally know what you mean, and I think Revlon is you know, a forward-thinking brand in that respect. But still, if you have any body image issues and you are putting on a dress for Monsoon and you're putting that dress out there,
In reality, it's Monsoon. It's not a brand of bikinis, because I wouldn't have accepted to do a contract. Okay, they do get bikinis, as do Accessorize, which is the sister company of Monsoon. Had they told me, Tez, we have this bikini, but no. And in reality, the good thing is that I actually go and choose the dresses I want to promote myself. I'm not just handed, oh, you have to promote this. No, I go, I choose what's in my style and all of that, you know. But no, thankfully, I've never had to do it, but had I been approached by Monsoon to promote their bikinis, it would have been a contract I would have turned down. Thankfully, I feel very comfortable promoting nice flowy dresses, because everything is comfortable, everything is covered, you know. I'm a little bit selective, I suppose, when I collaborate with certain brands, you know?
Listen, you mentioned several times about food. You've mentioned pasta, takeout, Chinese, all these
yes.
sorts of things. And you mentioned that you are, as a lot of us are
predisposed to putting on weight. Okay.
Yes. So I mean, it's a very personal question, but have you ever felt affected by eating disorders, however mild? Has that ever come across your kind of spectrum? Have you ever thought, oh man, I've just eaten this thing and now I'm not going to eat for the next couple of days, or I've just eaten this thing and I want to get it out of my body, or whatever spectrum of eating disorders?
I was never anorexic and I was never bulimic, but I did have issues. I still, to a certain extent, have issues of, you had that yesterday, today you need to train. Which I don't think is necessarily unhealthy, true. I think it drives me, it motivates me to actually do something about it.
I think an eating disorder is defined by an unhealthy relationship with food.
No, I don't think I ever had that. I think it was just a matter of, I don't think I ever let it get to that, thankfully. But I do know friends of mine who did. I know lots of people that did. And thankfully, no, I'm not somebody who ever went down that route. I think I bloody love food too much. I never had, but I do have issues with looking at myself in the mirror. I don't go swimming, Trude.
We've had this discussion because you and I have been swimming together.
But we're at a secluded beach.
We were at a very secluded place where nobody really could see us, and I was surprised because you are a very beautiful woman.
Absolutely.
And I was very surprised at how, and a lot of people listening to this who know you would probably be surprised as well, because I was taken aback by really how self-conscious you are. And even when you very, very kindly took part in a photo shoot with Maxine for this client, you were very bold in saying that you'd do it, but very, very self-conscious about the end result.
Make sure I'm in the pool, make sure my stomach is covered, make sure this, make sure that. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it stemmed from. I don't know.
Do you think a lot of people, do you think this is more common than we talk about?
Yes.
Do you think a lot of people are affected by this?
Yes, yes.
Do you think everybody's affected by it?
No, I think, like, my husband doesn't, I can't say he doesn't give a crap. Okay, Dave, I can't say Dave doesn't care, because he does care about his body. He struggled with weight. He was severely overweight when he was younger. But his body is like mine, that it's predisposed to put on weight very easily. But that will not stop him from going to the beach, because he absolutely loves swimming. But leading up to summer, he knows that there are going to be, like, right now, he's already starting to eat healthier because he obviously wants to feel his best when he goes to the beach. I will just not go. I got married in May. I was beach ready, totally, technically. This is a stupid phrase, beach ready. And I still didn't go. I was in Mauritius on my honeymoon and I didn't dip my toe into the sea.
But don't you think, Tez, bearing in mind that you're in Mauritius and nobody who sees you is ever going to see you again, do you not think that you're cheating yourself with some, because it sounds to me like a slight paranoia. Do you not think you're cheating yourself out of what it could be potentially a really good experience? I'll tell you something. I'm a couple of years older than you. One of the things I have learned as I've gotten older is keeping your body in trim gets a lot harder.
Of course it does.
But giving a crap becomes a lot easier.
I feel all right if I have clothes on. It's really hilarious when you think about it, because then on stage I'm so confident and I see videos of myself on stage and I'm just like, who the hell is that?
But is that not because you're playing a role? You're playing a part.
Yes.
You aren't yourself.
Exactly. And that is what scares me, because me in a bikini on a beach is 100% me. And it's not a case of people might recognize me. I mean, who the hell am I? It's not because of that. Because even in Mauritius, no Maltese on the island did I take off my clothes.
So what's
so
the
it's
answer?
It's got absolutely nothing to do with
recognizing
me.
I'm going to ask you, what's the answer? What's your suggestion? Because I know for a fact that an awful lot of people are affected by this. And that our quality of life can be disrupted by negative body image and what media is telling us, and striving over and over again to achieve, as you have said, maybe it's a possible goal once, but sustaining that goal, sustaining that pre-wedding body, takes so much hard work. What's the answer?
I think the answer is two things. Obviously, finding a balance, as I mentioned earlier, and embracing a normal body. And this is what I want to be seeing more of, and what I know I need to see more of, so that it can get into my thick skull that what I'm preaching and what I'm telling myself is the truth. That cellulite is normal, that stretch marks are normal, that having a flabby whatever is normal. You know, that doesn't mean I don't train just because I'm flabby. Because I don't know.
I loved what you said right at the very beginning, that you had a really good piece of advice to unfollow.
Yes.
People that are projecting negative thoughts into your psyche.
Well, because what happens? You start comparing, eh? You start comparing bodies, you start comparing successes, you start comparing people who are getting pregnant, blah, 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 blah. We speak about social media quite a bit here because, as you know, I like to keep my social media alive.
Listen, Tez, we're going to follow on from this.
Okay.
Because we're talking quite a lot here about mental health.
Yes.
In relation to body image.
Okay.
Another recent post, you said, I see you, I feel you, keep going, with the hashtag mental health. So I want to talk about this as well. I want to just ask you something. We're in this pandemic. Mm-hmm. We're in this semi-normal. We're doing an awful lot better than a lot of countries.
Thankfully.
But we aren't normal. And we aren't living normal lives. So I'm going to ask you a really personal question. How are you finding things at the moment? How is your personal mental health?
I get good days and I get really not good days. And that's probably why I said, I see you, I feel you, keep going. Because you really do just need to pick yourself up and keep going. And there are days where I find it very hard to keep, let alone to keep going.
Is this a pandemic thing or is this a test thing?
I don't know. I don't know if it's reaching 30 and I think I've always kind of struggled with mental health and I didn't know I struggled with mental health. I'm a very anxious person. A lot of people struggle with anxiety. Before I go on stage, I don't eat at all until the evening, until I'm on stage, for example. If I have a wedding and I know I need to sing until the wedding is over, I don't eat. This has nothing to do with the food relations. I'll just be so anxious about it that I need to do a good job. I don't want to let people down, blah, 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 blah. I don't think my mental health currently has to do, in reality, with what's going on globally. I just think that's what I mean by, I think it's because I'm 30, possibly because I'm reaching another phase in my life where I have more responsibility, where I want to delve into another chapter in my life and all of that, I would say. So obviously that triggers a little bit of anxiety here and there. There are days where everything is absolutely super and amazing and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be alive. There are days where I open recruitment company pages and I'm trying to look for another job. Where there are days where I walk into a classroom and a silly comment a child says gives me the satisfaction I need for that day. I cannot tell you it's the same every day. But this is another thing I want to be seeing more of on social media. The fact that, yes, it's okay not to be okay.
But listen, if that's the case, if you have bad days, who do you talk to about your mental health? If you talk to anybody, who would you talk to and say, I'm having a really bad day? Are you talking with your friends? Are you talking with family?
I think the first thing I would do is I'd go for a run. That seems to be my solution recently. When I can't get myself to run, I make myself a cup of tea and I chill a little bit and I sit with my thoughts and I kind of just embrace that this is where I am. There are days I need to give my therapist a call and that is totally okay. If he needs to go to therapy to deal with certain issues, why not? It is what it is. I obviously have a couple of friends that I reach out to. I have one of my sisters I'm very close to as well, a mom who's very supportive and really understands. And there are days where I just go to my parents' house and my mom says, you're not okay, come for a hug. And she can just kind of feel it. You know, there are people around you who know you, feed off your vibe, feed off your feeling, you know? And they kind of offer a solution. I'm not going to deny that there is another 360 to it, that there are people that absolutely don't get it. And I've had conversations where I would wake up in the morning and I'm like, I'm not feeling okay today. And I would get an answer back saying, but why? I don't understand why you are anxious. Your parents are alive. You are healthy. You have not undergone any type of trauma. So there is no reason for you to be mentally not okay. And I think this is, I think, the biggest breakthrough I had to go through with my therapist, because I myself couldn't understand what the trigger to not being okay was. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to kind of accept, as a person going through it, you need to accept that it is okay not to be okay. And as a significant other to somebody who is going through it, for the love of God, be empathic and just kind of, you don't understand it, but at least try and understand it.
It's interesting that you talk about therapists. I personally think mental health challenges have been made a little bit more acceptable because we are in a pandemic. Circumstances are extraordinary. It gives more freedom to say, you know what, I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. Because you can initially blame the pandemic. You know, I'm not okay because, you know, I haven't been to the pub in months or out for dinner in mm-hmm. a really long time. Or
I know, do feel more comfortable. You're making a really valid point, because I do feel a lot more comfortable in this last year and a little bit that we've been in the pandemic. I feel a lot more comfortable to be like, I'm feeling really blech today, because probably the person next to me would be like, oh my God, me too. Whereas before, maybe 2-3 years ago, I would just have kept something like that to myself, or I would have just gone to a friend who I know will understand what I'm going through. You know, so yes, I totally understand that. I'm hoping even once this bloody thing comes to an end, at least we remain more empathic.
Do we talk about this issue enough? Have we started to talk about it enough? And if not, why not?
I don't think we know what to say. I think this is what I struggle with the most. I don't think we know what to say. Because, let me tell you, I think the feeling, the best way I could describe it to my therapist when I was having a really, really low day, the only way I could verbalize what I was feeling was that I feel like somebody's hand is over my head and shoving me under the water. It's the only way I could describe how I was feeling, like somebody wasn't allowing me to swim up to get some air. And I think that is what I struggled with, verbalizing it. And I think what we struggle with is listening to somebody and knowing what to answer back, because you don't understand it. I think if you just offer kindness and you offer empathy, it just goes a really long way.
I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the worst things that you can possibly do when someone comes and tells you they're having a really bad day is turn around and say, oh, I know how you feel, because you don't. The very best thing you can do is just listen mm-hmm. and say nothing if you have nothing to say. Just even listening mm-hmm. is such a positive thing.
It could be comforting to hear, I know how you feel. It could be. But you never know. So always start with listening.
Exactly.
Start with listening. Start with giving somebody a hug. Start with just making somebody a cup of tea, because the act of...
Not me.
Not you, no. But if the symbolism of, for example, making somebody a cup of tea or offering them a glass of water is like you're inviting them to continue talking. You know, because it takes you a while to get through a drink, if you know what I mean. So you're kind of inviting them to really dive into their feelings and go a little bit deeper.
I was a new party to this, and I'll finish on this. You and a very lovely lady colluded, and a couple of days after my very, very beautiful dog died, I received a huge bunch of flowers. And there was not much written on the card, but it was just the thought that somebody gave a damn when you were having a really bad time. And it doesn't have to be flowers. It can be any gesture, but just to reach out. And I think that is one of the things that this COVID pandemic situation has taught us, is that any gesture is a gesture worthwhile.
Yes, I agree. I really hope. I think people have made the shift to be slightly kinder, or to at least be aware that being kind really does go a long way. And I'm hoping that this does keep going, you know?
Let's hope that for the future. Tez, it's a different podcast this
Definitely
time.
Definitely a different podcast.
It's been a fantastic podcast. Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you so much for your insight.
No problem.
I've really enjoyed talking to you. Until next time.
Yes, my friends. See you.
To listen to this edition of The Interviewer again or other exciting interviews, head towards Spotify or SoundCloud and search for The Interviewer.